this book and the blessings of God spiritually are worth our life given to Christ.
Yes.
And I'm thankful for the freedom that we have. Proverbs chapter 18 tonight. I want to say thank you as you turn your Bibles to the for the invitation for the invitation to preach here this week. I appreciate the motel. I appreciate the good food. And I had decided before I came this week I was going to start a diet, and I need to lose about 3 or 4 pounds. And so I have delayed that until next Monday.
Man.
And it is the preacher's fault. And but anyway, I appreciate the fruit basket that also has some edible candy in it. And I will take those apples to my girls, and they will enjoy those. And but anyway, I do appreciate the motel and your kindness. I mean that. And your pastor is a friend, and I'm thankful for him. I'm thankful for Brother Josh and what the Lord is using him in doing. And I just thank the Lord for the privilege to serve God on the team. What a good crowd. Good crowd. I'm glad you're here. Started to say good looking crowd, but what a good crowd. And you all laugh, and I like it. I like to laugh. You know, I'm in church every day, and for several weeks running, I'll preach every day, Sunday through Saturday, and preaching in meetings Monday and Tuesday, and then again on Friday, Saturday, and of course in my pulpit Wednesday night at the college Thursday. If I don't get a laugh at church, I don't get to laugh, because that's where I stay most of the time. And but anyway, I appreciate your good spirit, and that's what I want to preach on tonight, is our good spirit, or guarding our spirit. Stand with me as we read just one verse in Proverbs chapter 18, and look at verse number 14. One of the most powerful statements. It's an overwhelming statement. It's a statement we cannot live without. The Bible says the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear? Or if we have a wounded spirit, who can bear their infirmity? But the Bible says the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. Well, what a powerful statement. No matter what we face, no matter what weakness, difficulty, challenge, failure, obstacle that comes our way, our spirit can sustain us through that difficult time. I want to preach tonight on the subject, guarding our spirit. Heavenly Father, it's a joy to stand before these people, Lord, who have a pastor that loves them dearly and speaks so fondly of them and his love for them. And Lord, it's always a joy to preach in a place where the pastor loves his people, loves where he is, loves his church, Lord, and it's just an enjoyable thing to serve you. I'm glad for the culture we find in Christianity. And Lord, may we not be influenced by the culture of the world. If there is any influence exchange, may our churches influence the culture of our nation. And Lord, our nation needs what this church experiences and lives. And I pray that you'd bless the preaching of your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. One of the most powerful statements in the Bible, as far as my daily life and activity, is this passage and this statement that says, the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. Most people who stop serving God in life, or who stop in the various areas of their life, whether it be their marriage, their work, their walk with God, whatever it is never the infirmity that stops them. It is their spirit. It is their spirit,
yes,
that causes them to give up.
Yes.
So no matter what your infirmity may be, no matter what the obstacle may be, you can go through that to the other side if you can maintain a positive and a spirit of faith in God.
Yes.
May I say, no matter what happens in our country tonight, over the next few days, our spirit will sustain us if we keep our faith,
yes,
in God. One of my favorite preachers and friends of the past generation was a preacher by the name of Jim Vineyard. How many of you all knew that name, knew of him? Several of you did. Brother Vineyard was a soldier of the cross, and he was a soldier of our country. Brother Vineyard served in the Vietnam War. In fact, he was a Green Beret, and he trained the Hmong people in Laos during his time there. And he was just a tough fella. Yes. He really was, and I was afraid of him. But he was my friend, and so I didn't have to worry about it. I was preaching with Brother Vineyard in Ohio one night, and the preacher there was a big fella, about 6'6", maybe 6'8", but just a big fella. And he sort of was just, and Brother Vineyard was about my size. Brother Vineyard always was rocking on his toes. I mean, he was a fellow that was on his toes. You'd see him in the pulpit, and you'd wonder, why does that man keep going up and down all the time? And sitting behind him while he was preaching, I saw what caused that. It wasn't springs in his shoes. It kept going up on his toes all the time. And this preacher in Ohio, he said, Brother Vineyard, he said, really, did you know 100 ways to kill a man? And he said to the preacher, he said, you know, I could have you in that seat right there in about 2 seconds. And the preacher sort of made fun of him and or made light with his smile. And I don't know what Brother Vineyard did. Somehow his finger, and he just barely touched the fellow right there on that Adam's apple. And the next I saw, he was sitting in the chair, and he was wiping tears out of his eyes, and Brother Vineyard just standing there. And Brother Vineyard was a guest in our home 2 or 3 times, and my wife had had a severe injury, and he told my wife this story. He said, when I was 19 and I was serving in Laos, he said, a sniper shot me in the back of the leg and blew a kneecap off. And he said, they told me you would have to be discharged from the army. And he said, I didn't want to be discharged. In fact, he said, I wasn't going to be discharged. And I'll just quote what he said to me. He said, I decided I wasn't going to be a stinking cripple. Now, stinking was a word he used with everything. Why he did, I don't know. Maybe it was better than words he used to use when he was in the military, but we'll leave it at that. He said, I'm not going to be a cripple. So he said, I got in the swimming pool, and he's encouraging my wife. And he said, when it was time for him to send me home, I went back to the battlefield, and I finished my tour, and I finished what I aimed to do as a Green Beret. And he told my wife, he said, don't give up. Now, my wife had fallen on a glass pitcher. She was making tea, and she dropped that pitcher, and it broke, and she fell on it. Her foot slipped. I don't know how it happened, but she fell on it. One side of the broken glass hit 3 fingers right there, and the other side went through the artery in her arm right there. When I got to her, it was quite a mess, and we went to the hospital, of course, and the doctor told me, he said, now your wife's not going to be able to use that hand anymore. I said, now, Doc, my wife plays the piano, and she's not just my music. She's my song. I've got to have her playing the piano. He said, well, I'm sorry. She'll never use that right hand again. I took her to therapy. And I remember going to therapy with her, and her hand was quite a mess, and he would open her fingers up, and then he would close them. Have you ever been to a physical terrorist before? Anybody ever been to a physical terrorist? And he said to my wife, he asked her one of the dumbest questions you could ask. He said, does that hurt? Now, after you've been married a few years, a husband and wife can talk to one another without saying a word. You know what she's saying, but just a look on her face. You know what I'm talking about? Sir. And when he asked my wife across the table if that hurt, she looked at him and she said, without saying a word, if you say that again, I'm going to kill you. And Brother Vineyard called and he said, how you doing? And she said, I've decided I won't be a cripple. In fact, she repeated what he said. I'm not going to be a stinking cripple is what she said. And she decided by her spirit that she wouldn't quit. Now, it was difficult time for me because she had surgery. She had all kind of contraptions that she wore. One would close her hand, the other would open it. She put those things on at night. I'd wake up with this big hand over my head like that. And one Sunday morning, she said, I think I'll go to church today. And it was a very painful thing. And she said, I think I'll go to church today. So I was so excited. And when I came into church and I walked in and came up on the platform, I looked over there to my wife's seat to see if she was in her seat. And she wasn't there. And I thought, wow, she must not be feeling well. And I hate she didn't get to come. And so I just stood there in my seat, and I was a bit disappointed. Somebody in the choir tapped me on the shoulder. And I turned around, and it was my wife. And she said, I can't play, but I can still sing.
Man.
And I want to tell you, that did something for me that day. She said, I can't play, but I can still sing. I'll never forget, a few weeks later, I was in the back bedroom, and I don't know what I was doing, but I heard the piano begin to play. And you know, every piano player has a different touch, and I knew it was my wife. And it was her left hand and just one finger, and then two, and then three, and then four. She still doesn't use that fifth finger. Now, she didn't keep going because the infirmity went away. She kept going because she had a strong spirit. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. I want you to take your Bibles and go to Philippians chapter 4. Now, folks, regardless of what happens tonight in the election, the battles are not going to end. The difficulties are not going to end. The LGBTQ is going to add two or three more letters to their alphabet, and things are going to continue as they are, and our country is going to move further and further away from God as it has been. And sometimes we come to the place that we say, I just can't take it anymore. We have to come to the place that we will not yield to that thought or that statement, but to say, my spirit is going to be strong in the Lord. I want you to notice what the Bible says in Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 4. Paul writes these words, rejoice in the Lord. And I wish there was a period right there because I can do that. But then he adds the word always, and that makes it tough. Huh? It's like the fellow said, Lord, he said, I sure thank you for the wonderful day I've had. He said, I haven't had a bad thought. I haven't lost my temper today. And he said, I've just been doing so good. But Lord, I'm going to be getting out of bed here in a few minutes, and I'm going to need your help for the rest of the day. Now, he said, rejoice in the Lord. But then he said, always. And then he says, and again, I say, rejoice. If you read this passage of Scripture and you knew the history of the day, you knew that there were Christians in jail, in prison, and even martyred for the cause of Christ. And you may think that Paul is writing to those Christians that are in prison, working to encourage them, but that's not the case. Paul is actually in prison himself, and he's writing to those that are free, those that are not in prison, and he's telling them, you rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Notice what he said, let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And then I love this verse right here. Verse number 8 is a mind filter.
Yes, sir.
You know, you've got a gas filter on your car, and it keeps the dregs out of the carburetor, so it keeps running. And you've got a filter on your water spout there that keeps the dirt or anything out, so you got pure water coming through. You can't help what gets to the filter, but the filter's there just to make sure the right things come out. And here's a filter for our minds that we need to put in our minds. And he says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. What do you do if it doesn't fit that category? Well, it stays in the filter and it doesn't come through. I can't help what comes to my mind, but I can help what goes through my mind. And I want to say tonight, if we're going to control our spirit and our spirit sustain us in our infirmity, we will do so when we learn to control our mind.
Yes.
Now, I'm going to tell you right now, you can't feed your mind 4 hours of fear every day, 15 minutes of faith every day, and expect faith to win over fear.
That's right.
I don't need Fox News to tell me how to think.
That's right.
I need God to tell me how to think. Yes. I need the Holy Spirit to control my mind so that I can control my spirit. Yes. It is amazing, and the Bible recognizes this. It is amazing how little it takes to negatively affect our spirit and move us from faith in God to fear of circumstances. When you look throughout the Bible, you find that God is concerned about what we think, and because he is concerned about our spirit. You see, the difficulty you face today, that won't defeat you. When you give up in spirit, that's what will defeat you.
Yes, sir.
Take your Bibles and go to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. We were close to there last night. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. I love this passage of Scripture, and this is really going to be an encouraging to a lot of folks tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Notice, if you will, in verse number 1. But I determined this with myself. See, you're not crazy for talking to yourself.
Man.
See, you're not. You're not. He said, I determined this with myself. Now notice, that I would not come again to you in heaviness. What's he talking about? Was he carrying something around his pockets that was tearing his pockets off? No. He was talking about a burden that suppressed his spirit. He said, I decided this with myself. I would not come again to you in heaviness. Why? Verse 2. For if I make you sorry, who is he then that maketh me glad, but the same which is made sorry by me? And I wrote this same unto you, lest when I came, I should have sorrow from them of whom I ought to rejoice, having confidence in you all, that my joy is the joy of you all. Now, the truth is, I preach in churches of all kinds and sizes. Not when I say kinds, I only preach in independent Baptist churches. But I preach in churches of all kinds. I preach up north sometimes when they don't know come here from Sikkim, and you just have to you just have to stop and explain everything. They don't know what soup beans are. Now, they love pinto beans, but they don't know what soup beans are. And they just don't know. And so I preach in churches of all kinds. Sometimes it is everything I can do in my spirit to stir them. Now, I don't go to church to be encouraged. My job as a preacher is to be an encouragement.
Yes, sir.
But I can tell you this. When I walk into a church like this, where folks are already with a positive and a happy spirit. Now, it's not because you don't have any burdens. It's not because you don't have any cares or any concerns. It's just that you have learned to walk with God and read the Bible and enjoy church. And I walk into a church like this, and it encourages me beyond what I'm... Look, I don't need primers. I come to church pride. I was having a good time in the motel room before I got here.
Amen.
I mean, buddy, just me and the Holy Spirit and a few songs and the Word of God, I can have a good time by myself. But when I come to church and I encourage you, and I find you're already encouraged, you encourage me, and we encourage one another, and we go home and say, I do have a burden, but I think I can make it through. Yes. I do face a difficulty, but I think I can make it through.
Yes.
I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to keep on pressing on. Have you ever thought that the most discouraged or depressed times in our history, there have also been survivors and those that have started businesses? I mean, they've been successful. In 1931 or 1932, Dr. John Rice started the Sword of the Lord newspaper and ministry. Now, you can't do that during the Depression. But Brother Rice didn't look at the circumstances. He looked at the need, and he looked at his God. He looked at his need. He looked at his God, and he said, I'm going to do God's will anyway.
Amen.
You know how many businesses were started during the Depression? General Mills Food, Walt Disney, Fisher-Price, Duracell, Nestle milk chocolate. You know the lady that came up with the recipe for Nestle milk chocolate? Do you know she sold that recipe? You know what she got out of it? All of the chocolate she would ever use or want. That's what they paid her. And I thought to myself, you've cheated that woman. That's what I thought when I first read it. And then as my girls got older, I thought you'd been better off to pay her in cash, buddy, than to give her all the chocolate she can eat. You'd been better off to give her cash.
Yes, sir.
And you know, all that started during, here's another good one. Krispy Kreme started during the Great Depression. McDonald's started during the Great Depression. You say, well, how did they do that? Was it because they didn't have any problems? No, it was because they had a strong spirit.
Yes.
It was the spirit that sustained them. May I say the 10 spies that gave an evil report affected the spirit of the people and caused murmuring and complaining.
Yes.
And delayed the children of Israel 40 years. There may be times in the working of this church that you may not understand everything and understand the working of God, but never do we want to have a negative or discouraging spirit. We want to have a spirit of faith that says, we can by the grace of God. We can by the grace of God, and we will. How's your spirit tonight? You know, God cares about my spirit as a preacher. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 1, you know what God told Jeremiah? He said, don't be afraid of their faces. Now, that may not mean much to you, but you ought to stand up here sometimes.
Yes.
I've had some folks give me some pretty ugly faces, you know, through the years. And he said, now, why would he tell Jeremiah that? He told him that because he didn't want Jeremiah to have a defeated spirit. And Jeremiah, it's an amazing story, never had a convert. And the second book that Jeremiah wrote was the book of Lamentations. And he never lost a broken heart. He never lost his love. He never lost a hurting heart for those people. You know why? He kept his spirit.
Yes, sir.
Now you say, preacher, how do I keep a right spirit? Let me give you five things quickly. First of all, we must read the Word of God.
Yes, sir.
We must read the Word of God.
Yes, sir.
I want you to take your Bibles and go to Psalm number 37. Psalm number 37. If I'm going to have a spirit that will sustain my infirmity, if I'm going to have a spirit that's going to carry me through difficulties, that's going to carry me through the valley, that's going to take me through the difficulty, then I must read the Word of God.
Yes.
Now notice what the Bible says in Psalm number 37, verse number 1. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. Now the word fret means don't be upset and angry at the evildoers. Now look at me. That's hard for me to do. I get mad at the evildoers.
Yes, sir.
I get mad at those that teach our children a false history of the United States.
Yes.
I get mad at those that would sell booze to our children and promote it to our college students. I get mad. But here's what the psalmist is saying. I want you to control your spirit. I don't want you to live fretting about evildoers. I want you to have faith in a God that's in control. I want you to think about this. Every dispensation of time, whether it was good or evil, righteousness always won.
Yes.
You take the most wicked of times, and that was the days of Noah, and it repented God that he had even made man. Can I tell you who won in that dispensation? Righteousness.
That's right.
He won by ruin, but righteousness won. Do you know who won when Pharaoh was over the land of Egypt and they made slaves out of God's people? You know who won? Righteousness always won. Can I tell you, you walk through every dispensation of time, no matter how dark the day, no matter how dark the period, you'll find that righteousness always wins. Why? Because we serve the King of Kings. We serve the Lord of Lords. There's no fear of him being peached or replaced. Can I tell you, Pharaoh came and Pharaoh went, but God's still on his throne.
Yes.
Nebuchadnezzar came and Nebuchadnezzar went. Belshazzar came, Belshazzar went, but God's still on his throne.
Yes.
I have to read the Word of God. I can't spend hours listening and reading to the news of the day, especially. Oh my goodness, isn't it something how negative they can make a pie contest? I mean, they can. I'm not going to fill my mind with that. You know why? I must have a good spirit because I have a lot of things I desire to do in the will of God. And the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmities. Let me give you the second thing. I must spend time with God in prayer. I wish I had time to teach a lesson on the value of prayer in our life beside getting the answer.
Yes, sir.
Getting the answer is good. But the most valuable thing about prayer is spending time with God. Can I recommend something about prayer time? Can I recommend that you tell God one morning, God, I'm coming to spend time with you, but I'm not coming to ask you for anything. I'm not coming to tell you anything. I just want to spend time with you, and Holy Spirit, you speak to my heart, and I'll do the listening. I just want to fellowship with you. And if I say anything, I just want to praise you for who you are. I just want to thank you for your goodness to me. Can I tell you something, dear friend? When we spend time with God, our spirit will be strengthened. Our spirit will be strong. And our spirit will sustain our infirmity. When Bible college students come to college and they face difficulties, they don't quit because of infirmity. They don't quit because of problems. They quit because they lose a positive spirit. They lose a strong spirit. They lose a spirit of faith. And you and I must decide I'm going to have a strong spirit because that's the only thing that will carry me through my infirmity. Let me give you the third thing. First of all, we must read the Word of God. Second of all, we must spend time in prayer. Third of all, we need to have a balance in life.
Yes, sir.
Now, I love this. And one of the things that I've taught in my ministry is about balance in life. Now, I have my life divided into four categories, and I'll not go through all of my schedule. But can I tell you something? I've decided to enjoy life.
Amen.
I have been sentenced to Christianity. I've been set free.
Amen.
I'm a child of God.
Yes, sir.
I am His, and He is mine.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to enjoy the singing. I'm going to enjoy time with family. I'm going to enjoy the turkey at Thanksgiving. And I'm going to enjoy the turkey at Christmas and the ham at Christmas and anything else they shoot and kill and put on the table. I'm going to enjoy that.
Yes.
I'm going to enjoy coming together with God's people. Even when there are burdens, I'm going to enjoy getting on my knees beside a brother or a sister or a family and watching God work to restore and bring a family back together, a life back to a place of being used. I've decided to enjoy life. There's too much in the Word of God that tells me to have joy. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice.
Amen.
We need to have a balance in life and enjoy what we do.
Yes, sir.
Let me give you the fourth thing. Help somebody.
Yes, sir.
Help somebody.
Amen.
I don't know of anything that helps to relieve a burden from my heart I don't care how heavy the burden is, than to help someone else carry their burden.
That's right.
In fact, I think I get greater joy out of helping another carry their burden than I do just from my own life that I live.
Yes.
The joy. I had a fella, I talked to him last night after church and going through a tough time. He said, "Preacher, I'm sorry to bother you." I said, "Man, I enjoy letting the Word of God minister in your heart. I enjoy a time of prayer. I enjoy helping folks. What a joy it is to be a blessing to someone else."
Yes.
When's the last time you wrote a note to someone and told them you was praying for them? When's the last time you baked a cake or a pie or took it to somebody in need?
Yes.
When's the last time you helped somebody with a project or with a need and you gave time to help them? You say, "But preacher, I have needs." Well, I'm telling you how to meet them.
Right.
I'm telling you how to lift your burden.
Yes, sir.
Is to help someone else. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. Let me give you the last thing. I must be free of sin. Sin will rob your joy and your spirit.
Yes, sir.
Look at me, church. We've come to the place today that we think we can just claim salvation, live in sin, and everything's going to be all right. And we got these folks on television that talk about the grace of God all the time, and God's not changing their life. They say, "Well, God loves me like I am. God loved me where I was, but He didn't love me to leave me. He loved me to bring Him closer. He loved me to leave where I was and to be closer to Him."
Yes, sir.
I want you to take your Bibles and go to Psalm number 51. The psalmist's spirit was broken. The psalmist's spirit was broken because, first of all, he stayed home from battle. Second of all, in his time of disobedience, he committed the sin of adultery and fornication. He then had a soldier killed. He then had a child that was should not have been his, and on and on. And finally he had a man of God that came and looked at him and told him a story of sin and said, "Thou art the man." Can I tell you, learning to be clean in our life, it's not a matter of a church, it's a matter of individuality.
Yes.
I'm talking about my heart. I'm talking about my mind. Look what he says in Psalm number 51. And verse number 8, "Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice." Now in these first few verses, he tells the Lord, he said, "Wash me, cleanse me." He confessed his sin, "Have mercy upon me." He poured his heart out, he poured his sin, he confessed his sin. But then he says, "Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice." Look at verse number 10. "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." You know what gives you a strong spirit, a spirit of faith, is for something to be renewed. One of my favorite passages is the book of Ephesians. It tells us to renew our spirit. Renewed doesn't mean to get new. It means to make like new again. When I was a boy and a teenager, I used to shine my dad's shoes every Saturday night. We didn't have blacktop roads where I grew up in southeast Kentucky and Appalachia, and just had gravel roads. Actually, we just had gravel during the election years, every 4 years. Things got pretty bad at the end of the 4 years. And my dad hated dirty shoes. He said, "A man wear a suit and dirty shoes looks like a Cadillac with mud grips on it. Just doesn't look right." And so I would shine my dad's shoes. I'd write him a note and I would put it in his shoes and set his shoes outside his bedroom door. Now, I didn't get him a new pair of shoes. I renewed his shoes. You know how it is, ladies. You mop the floor and you clean the house and you make the announcement, "Take your shoes off now at the door. Don't come through. Don't track that dirt through my house." You fellas know how it is. You decide one Saturday to clean your car out. And you get all those French fries and half a nuggets out from under the seats and 27 packs of ketchup and 400 church tracts, and you get all that stuff out of there. And, you know, first thing you do, you get your car renewed. You say, "Now, no eating in the car." You know, when I shine my shoes and come out of the house, if there's a mud hole there, I step around it. If I've got my old muddy work boots on, I step in the mud. If my heart is clean before God in the mornings, when I step out of the house, I walk around the mud holes.
That's right.
I walk around the things that would make me dirty because I want to be clean.
Yes.
If you're going to have a spirit to sustain your infirmity, we must have sin forgiven.
Yes.
Stand with me, if you will. The spirit of a man. The spirit of a man. You say, well, that's his personality. Maybe so, but you can decide to have a spirit that's strong and spiritual and one of faith. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this church. And Lord, whether they know it or not, they are an above average happy church. They do have a good spirit. And it's evident from the time you walk in the building. But Lord, there may be those here that struggle in their spirit to face difficulties in life. And Lord, perhaps they're facing a difficulty, an infirmary, an adversity today. And they've given thought to giving up. Lord, it won't be the adversity that they can blame for quitting. It will be a weak, failed spirit. Lord, help us to read your word. Help us to pray. God, help us to be a blessing to others. Help us, Lord, to keep a clean life of sin, that we can maintain a strong spirit that will sustain us in infirmity. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. He's going to play the invitation song.